Before the next episode of the Yalla Bud podcast, here's a little message from Folklory. If you have ever heard your mom or dad share a little something from their past that surprised you, in a good way, you know, like a quip about how they met, or what it was like when you were first born, you know that's a very special moment. And if you've ever thought, damn it, I wish I could have recorded that, well, that's why we started Folklory. We interview your loved ones to capture their stories and memories in their voice, which we turn into studio-quality podcasts that you can listen to for generations. We've done that for hundreds of customers already, and in fact, the first ever Folklory we recorded was with my mom. Our process is super easy, and we'll make it as smooth and as enjoyable for your parents as possible. And if you order by 31st March, you'll get your Folklories delivered with this limited edition Folklory Bluetooth speaker. It's styled as a good old retro mixtape, which means you can start listening as soon as you receive it. You can find out all this info at folklory.com, or you can chat with us directly on WhatsApp by clicking on the link in the show notes. We would love to help you create something special, so please check it out. And now, on to the podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yalla, your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
It's the end of the week episode. How's the week, man?
It's been quite a blockbuster week, The Pritam Singh stuff and all. I think that has dominated conversation in most places, right?
You mean like face-to-face or the news?
Yeah, face-to-face, dinner conversation.
Oh, so you already had dinner conversations about Pritam and all?
I wouldn't say dinner, but just that's something that you bring up. Everyone's like, oh, yeah. You know, they've all heard about it.
Yeah, right? Correct. They've all heard about it. Because I actually felt like in terms of the mainstream consciousness, in terms of the news, there was a peak and then it very easily, very quickly subsided.
I think most people realize that, we just got to wait.
Got to wait,
for what happens.
Yeah.
But that's it. I think... everyone seems to be taking it as an indicator that elections are coming.
And I mean, that one is, it's an indicator, right? It's nothing confirmed, dear Pofma, nothing confirmed.
Yeah.
But it feels like I think the next few months are going to be exciting because I think end of March, early April is the next step in Iswaran's case also.
Mm.
So there's going to be more developments.
For sure.
For sure.
It'll be interesting.
Interesting. But Q1 almost over.
Yeah, end of March. Yeah.
So probably people at like the more the jobs that are based on the financial calendar all like fucking hustling.
I guess so. That's the white collar end of year.
White collar end of year.
Yeah.
White collar end of year party. Yeah.
Yeah.
But man. So I mean this week kind of like there was a midweek kind of like kerfuffle, but. End of the week, the topics we're going to talk about a bit more lighter,
right? But overall, also, I think it's leading people towards a question of is it elections coming? That's why I got this news come out, right?
It's like don't worry.
It all boils down to
elections. We're still happy, right? We're still happy. Shut up. So before we jump into it, Is there anything you'd like to say, Terrence?
Welcome everyone who's new here. We're getting a lot of new subscribers, followers. If you haven't already subscribed or followed, please do so because that'll make sure you never miss any of the goodness. And a lot of things that the recent Yalla Bud 500 Trishot episode, is you have to watch it to believe it, right? I think listening to it is very different from watching the video. So if you're new here on YouTube, please like, share, follow, subscribe. And always tell one person about it.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. And if you want to find out more about the other stuff we do any chances to work with us as a brand, as an individual, you can find out all you need to at our website, ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
Where you can also sign up for our newsletter where we will email you if we have some cool shit going on.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Right. Okay. Cool.
So
let's jump into the first topic, which is really, close to the hearts of everyone, and very existential questions that it brings up.
Right? Yeah, which feels like every few months we're talking about this.
Yeah.
It's yet another survey, but this is more global.
Mm.
And of course, we are top for one thing. We are apparently the top country in Asia for happiness for the second straight year, even though our global rankings have fallen 5 spots to 30th.
Yeah.
30th in the world.
Mm.
It's almost like football, top in Asia, but still not even in the top 20 of the world.
Are we top in Asia?
for happiness, lah.
Oh, no,
I'm not saying Singapore football. I'm saying Asian football in general. Like the top country in Asian football.
Okay.
Don't know whether it's even in the top 20 of the world football.
I mean, like Saudi Arabia considered Asia, lah, right?
Yes.
And they beat Argentina in the last
the football. Rankings, lah, the rankings. Actually, what are the global football rankings? Which I will pull up in a bit. But yeah, so like it's okay, so there's a bunch of different reports, lah.
Mm.
Right. This is the World Happiness Report.
Yeah.
Which is the annual United Nations back report, lah.
Mm.
And I think they surveyed 145 out of 143 out of 195 countries.
Yeah.
And yeah, lah, the one interesting thing is that Singapore apparently for the past 3 years actually had been rising up, no.
Mm.
In 2021 was 32nd.
Yeah.
2022 was 27th. 2023 was 25th. Yeah. But this year, 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah, lah. So there's a lot to dive into. But when you saw the headline, what do you feel? Do you feel like proud, sad, disappointed?
No, but I think it was. I merely thought, yeah, lah, it's as we've gone through a lot of surveys, it's very worth going through the methodology to understand how they thought about the word happiness, lah, right? Because that means so many different things to different people.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big things that immediately jumped out at me on just skimming through the article was that this was the first year that they actually broke down rankings based on your age demographic. You know, for young people below 30, lower middle between 30 and 44, upper middle between 45 and 59, and the old above 60.
Mm.
So I think the results there are slightly different, which is interesting to see. And that's why I think anyone who sees this headline, you know, there's a lot of emotions, right?
Mm.
But maybe it's worth looking deeper into the data to get a better sense of what it's saying.
Yeah, because if you go online on the Facebook post done by some of the news outlets that featured the article, or on Reddit, which again, Reddit, you get very vocal people who might not have the most representative perspectives. Yeah. There's a lot of anger. La.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're saying, hey, who can I survey it? You know, like, never heard of the survey. What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. So the report, thankfully, is easy to find. It's super long.
Yeah.
But the methodology was quite interesting. La.
Mm.
So I mean, just some interesting things about how it was done. Basically, they surveyed about 1,000 people. I think what they say is 1,000 to 3,000 people. Mm. The typical annual sample for each country is 1,000 people, and it's done over 3 years.
Yeah.
So anytime you see the 2022 report, it's from 2019, 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
So this is from the 3 years prior.
Average, right, of the last 3 years.
Yeah, average of the last 3 years. And the way it is, the info is gathered is also surprising. Like, it's not just a standard questionnaire.
Mm.
At the core of it is they use the Cantrell ladder. Had you heard of it before?
No.
Reading about this report?
Never before this.
Yeah, so the Cantrell ladder is essentially just like a 0 to 10 scale. And the instructions are, please imagine a ladder, and you can do this, you know, as you listen. Please imagine a ladder with steps numbered from 0 at the bottom to 10 at the top. The top of the ladder represents the best possible life for you, and the bottom represents the worst. On which step of the ladder would you say you personally feel you stand at this time, which is the ladder present, and 5 years from now, the ladder future? And then once they get that, from my understanding, because even reading the methodology, I was a bit like, huh.
Yeah.
They then compare that with a few other pillars, like 6 other pillars that, you know, range from like GDP, life expectancy, generosity, social support, freedom and corruption, that are all gleaned from their own reports.
Mm.
And then the respondents themselves are asked to kind of evaluate how their own interpretation of their Cantrell ladder score is influenced by these 6.
Mm. Mm.
So that's what I got from like just trying to summarize it. Was that what you got also?
Yeah. It's not as simple as just people answering straight out questions, right?
Yeah.
So I guess in some sense, because there's such a specific methodology to it, right?
Mm.
It makes the results more interesting, I feel like when across different countries and all that. Because they do take into account more, like what we said, more factors. Like even generosity is taken into account.
Yeah.
And it seems like generosity has it's a priority, right? In terms of understanding whether people are happy. And that's the general common assumption, is that if you have lead a virtuous life, you also will be happier, right?
Mm.
When you give to people, you yourself become happier also. So yeah. There's the underlying assumption there already.
Okay. So that means, just off the head, that means you answer your Cantrell editing, they will use that and kind of like adjust it based on that country's own indicators of GDP, life expectancy, and all right. Based on research that hints at a certain correlation. So it's not just like some surveys where 100 questions and then they make stuff like that. And one thing I read that I remember a previous guest speaking about was that they did a lot of meta-analysis with meta-research reports.
What does that mean?
It just means, if I remember, and I think it was the scientist who came on to talk about like naming the cockroach after a Pokemon.
What's his name? Mao Shan. Mao Shan. Is it Mao Shan? Or is that that's a durian, right?
Professor Mao. Oh, fuck.
Chasing Mao, he's on Instagram. That's what he's
Chasing Mao.
Yeah.
I think what it is that you study a bunch of research reports.
Yeah.
And then you have a meta-analysis on top of that.
Yeah.
So your research might not be from actual like new polls. It is existing stuff.
It's research on research.
That's why it's meta. So there was a lot of this. And one thing I found interesting is like part of the scoring is also done in comparison to the scores in dystopia. You read about it?
No, I didn't. What in dystopia?
So it is part of the methodology. So dystopia is a hypothetical country with values equal to the world's lowest national averages for each of the six factors.
Oh, okay.
And it's part of the report.
Because I actually looked at the 2023 report as well.
Yeah.
And they specifically listed the idea of eudaimonia as like a philosophy that they were trying to analyze. Yeah, eudaimonia. Yeah,
how do you spell?
Eudaimonia. So that's Aristotle's philosophies about what makes a happy life. So that was like literally in last year's, they stated in last year's report. And this year, I guess maybe there's they've defaulted to another probably Greek philosophy paradigm, right?
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's what they try and do with every report as well, right?
I mean, this one does have the eudaimonic evaluations.
Oh, has it? Okay. Yeah.
But I think they said it is just one of other things.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So they talk about meaning and purpose also.
Correct. So for today, I spent a lot of time reading about eudaimonia.
And what is everything. It? I thought you would say, dystopia is a fictional country where it's dystopian. Yeah. I thought eudaimonia is like where everybody wants to die.
No. It's not that. I know it sounds like you. In the pronunciation, I realize is eudaimonia, basically.
Eudaimonia. Okay.
Simple to state.
Yeah.
But it's just a philosophical idea that apparently cannot be easily condensed into a English word, right? About like the meaning of like finding purpose in your life, right? Through different things like social standing, your finding a purpose for yourself and everything.
So how would you use it in a sentence?
I wouldn't. it's really like the examples I saw of people pronouncing it are like really academics using it. Right?
No, but the last episode you say one, purpose of this podcast is the raison d'être.
Raison d'être. That one is hardly, that one is
to give people something to say at dinner to make them sound smart, right?
This one, I wouldn't. My general principle is if you don't know how to use the word in a sentence on a casual basis, don't try, right?
That's the opposite of my principle.
Yeah. No, I mean, it depends on how much attention you want. If you're just there for attention, then go ahead and use it.
Eudaimonia.
You want just want attention. But to me, it's important that you understand the spirit of it.
Okay. So how do you use eudaimonic in a sentence? Getting the promotion was a eudaimonic boost for the rest of a week.
Yeah, it makes you sound like a douchebag when you use it like that. Yeah.
Eudaimonic.
Yeah.
So if anyone had a good week, at your dinner, you can say, wow, the kopi, right? Was a eudaimonic boost for the rest of my day.
Huh? You die. You die. You say I die. Why you say I die? That's the response you get.
Or eudaimonic. Okay. Eudaimonic. Okay. Cool. New word.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, so interesting that they use these philosophical terms in the studies.
Mm.
Just to make it a bit more poetic, I suppose.
Yeah, but the one glaring thing, right, that occurred, because you know when you talk about happiness, you talk about country happiness.
Yeah.
Where is Bhutan?
Okay.
So then, you know, it becomes like 143 countries out of 195, which means not all the countries in the world.
Yeah.
But then when you read the origins of the World Happiness Report, literally on their website, they say the report and much of the growing international interest in happiness exists thanks to Bhutan because they sponsored a UN resolution, Happiness Towards a Holistic Approach to Development, which was adopted by the UN in 2011.
They have some gross happiness index.
So basically, the motion is just about giving more importance to happiness and well-being in the process of determining how successful a country is. But they're not part of this report.
Stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but that being said, right, like anything as you were going into the details, like that stuck out to you?
I mean, one interesting thing is Finland has like multiple times already, right, has emerged as the happiest country in the world.
Yeah.
Not say surprising, right, but the Finnish people that we know, like Auntie who lives in Singapore. Who's been on this podcast. He wrote Tiong Bahru Social Club. Loves Singapore.
Yeah.
Loves Singapore probably far more than Finland, right?
Yeah.
And always interesting to see that, but people in Finland seem to be so happy, so why would he choose to come to Singapore, right? And apparently, there's a population of Finnish people who have chosen Singapore as a home. But you know, it's a lot of the Nordic countries.
Yeah, they're all in the top 10.
On the top 10. Iceland, also number 3, right?
Mm.
So a lot of people are saying that when you talk about Asia, it's not about who's the happiest, but who's the least unhappy. And apparently Singapore is the least unhappy compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about all those sentiments that you're reading about online?
There was enough pushback online saying that, it's not, globally, we are number 30, which, if you say you're 30th in the world for anything, you're definitely not seen as the top.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not something that to be super proud of.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're top in Asia, similar. Like, if you look around Asia, there are places where, there's like... Civil war. Civil war.
Yeah.
You have civil war. You have natural disasters.
Mm.
You have military coups.
Yeah.
You have...
Right-wing governments.
Yeah. And you have like a shrinking economy.
Yep.
So it just feels like, you kind of understand.
And we have Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, we have Coldplay. So it's one of those things that, but also not to trivialize the fact that people in Singapore might be feeling unhappy.
Right.
Correct. Because on the Converse, there was an article that was written on this website called theconversation.com. And they pride themselves on having, academic rigor and journalistic flair.
Yeah.
And they published a report in the Scientific Reports that said, in countries which rank the highest in national happiness, people are also more likely to experience poor well-being due to the societal pressure to be happy. It's like, when you're around a bunch of friends who are all like fucking happy.
Yeah.
If you're sad, right?
Yeah.
Will you tell them you're sad?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. You would try to hide it a bit more.
Try to hide it. So they actually published research and they surveyed like 7,400 people from 40 countries. And quite interesting, they surveyed them about their well-being, satisfaction with life and mood complaints and kind of matched that with their supposed happiness rankings.
Yeah.
And they did find some correlation that in countries that are supposed to be happy, there's almost like a happiness inequality that are higher in these sort of countries.
Yeah.
So you can imagine in countries, especially if GDP is a thing, Singapore is super wealthy.
Yeah.
So if a higher GDP relates with happiness, then Singapore will rank higher.
Correct.
But because it's so unequal in Singapore, you also get people who are just not happy.
Correct. And one thing to remember is also the survey results are from the average of the last 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And these were 3 years through COVID, right? So if you lived in Singapore through COVID, you know that there was a much greater availability of vaccines life was much shittier for everyone around the world, right? But I would say Singapore, because of the access to vaccines, because we generally opened up a bit earlier also than a lot of other parts of Asia, right? Mm. I remember traveling to Korea and Japan, during that period when we were opening up, and people looked at us like, oh, what the hell are you doing here? You know, like, they weren't used to having foreigners back on their shores that much yet.
Mm.
So yeah, Singapore, we were already out there, you know, getting out there, doing our thing, having concerts and all these things. So yeah, maybe there was a general sense that, hey, things aren't as bad as compared to in other countries.
Yeah, that's why probably last year we were even higher, because this year's results are 2021 to 2023.
Yeah.
The previous results was 2020 to 2023.
Yeah.
And 2020, I think generally Singapore, people were thankful at how things were being
handled
here compared to the rest of the world.
Correct, yeah.
So I mean, yeah, that's one thing. There was something you said about how across they measured happiness across the different ages, right? And what was the interesting thing about Singapore there?
For the young people below 30 years old, we are lagging other countries. In fact, I think we're ranked 54 when it comes to young people in terms of happiness. But for above 60, we are ranked higher than our average ranking. So we are actually, I think, 26 when it comes to those above 60. So what it's saying is that older people seem to report being happier in Singapore compared to the young people in Singapore, compared to the global averages.
Of course, because now BTO, how much, Terrence? Yeah, my father BTO, so much before. Of course. But it is a real thing, right? It is a real thing. I think now, especially in countries like Singapore, where I think it's widely accepted that the challenges facing the generations now are different and not trivial. They are facing a lot of challenges. We feel it as well about the cost of living. Whereas the older generation that almost lived through the 90s in Singapore, when it felt like, wow, it was just bubbling with opportunity and chance to grow. There was enough of the pie for everyone. Now it feels a bit more cutthroat.
But how about the perspectives that we talked about where people now have more choice, right? And we talked about that in the last podcast. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Choice, comparison being the thief of joy.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that there are more options available to you. Last time, people above 60, how many people are university graduates? You know, how many percent of the population are university graduates? Now, there's multiple universities you can choose from. After you leave university, there's a lot of job opportunities in terms of MNCs, startups, government, everything. There's a lot of options. And maybe because young people now have these options, maybe to them it's like they always feel like they're lagging or leaving, don't have something. Whereas you have to admit, last time life was simpler, right? You know, especially above 60, you entered the workforce before the internet and everything also. So you just, as long as you're getting a living wage, you can provide for your family, a roof over your head, you're happy already.
And no social media.
No social media, yeah. So I guess that's the thing. So yeah,
social media is a fucks everything.
It's a big something big that we have not had a chance to account for in a lot of the comparisons between people's ages. I think the way people interact since the advent of social media, since the retweet button, since it became less of a public square, right? I think that has really affected those below 30. I think I was listening to a podcast with Jonathan Haidt, the writer of The Coddling of the American Mind. He was saying, basically, they used to say Twitter is a public square, right? Where people can go and say what they want. But now you think about it, Twitter is more like the Roman Colosseum, where people go there, to fight, and then there's a bloodbath and everyone's cheering you on. So that's what it feels like more, right? Compared to what social media was originally intended to be. So, and that has fundamentally changed how people interact with each other. And those below 30 are the ones who were born into that era. Below 30 means you were born in,
1993.
93, 94. Yeah, so definitely internet was already around by the time you could actually use a computer or phone or anything.
Yeah, and social media was in your teens.
The most, probably the part where your brain is trying to figure out how to interact with people, right?
Yeah.
Then it gets rewired by social media.
And your parents didn't go through it.
Yeah.
So there's no way, you almost, the first teenage generation to deal with social media, lah. Right?
Yeah. Correct.
And yeah, I think social media, like apparently the World Happiness Report, they had a chapter on social media in the World Happiness Report 2019 that, you know, emphasized the damaging effects, but mainly data from the US, lah. But they said in the past few years, you know, with all the limitations of COVID and in-person meetings, social media might have actually played a role in supporting happiness, which sounds a bit dubious, but I mean, they've made all their data available, but yeah, actually, I think social media probably skews a lot. Skews a lot. Because even for us, right? Mm. If we were to look at podcasters, you know, overseas.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, they got like, they podcast in the US, also about news, also two guys. Then they got like millions of listeners.
Yeah.
But then if you apply the same percentage of their population to us, we are comparable, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just the image of like, wow, they're like fucking huge. And it makes you feel like shit. Yeah.
But that still doesn't fully account for, because this is a comparison between countries, right?
Mm.
So you would say, it means that the under 30s in other countries also they face the same issues, right?
Yeah.
You know, social media, all these things. But they seem, comparatively, they seem happier than the under 30s in Singapore.
That's true also. Mm.
So maybe, there still is an element of like what life is like for a young person in Singapore that has led to Singapore being 54 when it comes to young people.
But on the flip side, the old people here are all like, whee!
Yes, I know who to vote for. I know.
Yeah. Yay, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think for anyone who feels a certain emotion about this report, just understand that it is a report I mean, no report is going to give the full picture.
Yeah.
But just more about the trends, like, it's interesting.
Yeah. But when you see this kind of report, does it make you feel like, I wish I could live in Finland or Denmark or Iceland?
I wish I could try living there. I don't know whether I want to live there permanently.
Yeah.
Because you grow up with this idea, oh, it's so amazing there. Then I'm like, is it really that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, what about it is just a different way of living? Because obviously they have a different way of living.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard so much about how they have a better work-life balance. I think someone we know posted on LinkedIn recently, he said, you know, a regular question over dinner in Finland is like, oh, what day do you want to go kayaking or sailing this week?
Oh, really?
It's just a thing.
Is that what they post?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He posted, he's finished.
Yes,
and actually, his auntie.
Oh, yeah, okay, okay. How are you calling him out? Like, you're doxing him?
No, it was a post just talking about how the way of life there.
Yeah.
It is a norm that, of course, every week you're going to do something in nature.
Yeah.
It's not anything negative. It was kind of like quite a heartfelt post, because he said that question stuck with him for a long time. About how it was so normal. Like,
wait. So you're saying in Singapore you talk about going kayaking?
No, he said in Finland.
In Finland.
When he was in Finland.
But isn't it like damn cold and everything all the time? Oh, but they go in cold water also.
Cold water or like summer or something. Okay, Finland has summer also.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think they have like thousands of lakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just part and parcel. Like in Singapore it would be, hey, you know, meet for a kopi or prata or something. For them it's like, yeah, we do that, but let's also do something outdoors. You know, and then like, so it just feels like it's a different way of life.
Yeah.
And even the social support, the taxes are a lot higher, but everything is free.
Yeah.
And that also kind of changes the way you live.
Correct.
So I would like to live there and just experience that.
Yeah.
And just understand.
But I mean, the interesting thing is, I think Finland, the population is not much bigger than Singapore. So yeah. Right.
But the country is huge.
But the country is huge. A lot more space, a lot more nature around them.
Yeah.
But remember, it's also damn cold. There's winters and everything.
Mm.
In some ways, at least for a lot of foreigners that I know who are living in Singapore, they love it because they can ask the exact same question that you said auntie was asking. Like, oh, shall we go to the beach this weekend? Oh, shall we go to, you know, whatever, Sentosa this weekend? Oh, shall we go and like bask in the sun, you know? They can't do that in like some of these countries, Nordic countries especially, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go out to nature, but it's freezing. Yeah? You freeze your ass off. Whereas here, it's just sun or rain all year round. And that to them is like, they love that much more than what it is in their home country.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's very hard to compare apples to apples, I would say.
Mm.
I think here they're trying to have... you know, it's more than just about the weather or about GDP per capita. I'm trying to make it a more holistic thing. But yeah, like you, I'm also curious about what life is like living in those countries.
Because I had a friend who was living in either Denmark or Norway.
Mm.
And what they told me is that there, like the glorifying wealth or, you know, being like very
ostentatious
is actually frowned upon.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know how it is like now and all that. And if anyone is there listening, correct me if I'm wrong. But they said, yeah, you know, you people almost feel like, okay, if you're wealthy, don't show off.
Don't flaunt it. Yeah.
Don't flaunt it.
Yeah.
So culturally, that is a huge thing because in Singapore, it's like the opposite.
Yeah.
And one thing about Singapore where they have such ostentatious displays of wealth, not even to the Dubai or Monaco level, you really feel it, you know?
Yeah.
So if the culture there doesn't kind of like hammer down the wealth inequality, it's also probably good, you know?
Hammer down meaning?
I mean, hammer... Like make
emphasize
or you know glorify now you know like every like last time at one point someone else buys a new GCB
and it
makes the news and all that I don't know how the news there would take news like that you know
that's an interesting point because I think that points to it's something that can be controlled because we have a state media and we see a lot of times in the state media the things that they choose to publicize about this person buys GCB, that person sells GCB, this person gives Rolex to his employees, you ask yourself what is the point of these articles other than to create jealousy or envy in people who read them and we actually at least our government has a much bigger say in what the media can or should promote, So why are articles like this being promoted, or at least not being, why don't they discuss whether these articles serve the nation building interests of Singapore, So it kind of tells you the priority of what information needs to go out there. You know, should we be motivating people to go and spend more money, leverage themselves more to show off to the world, or what should we be encouraging, So it's I think that's an interesting thought, because I think the last discussion we had is that sometimes it's not even about the policies or what that decides whether you're happy. It's about the peer pressure, The person next to you, what car is he buying? The person next to you, what watch is he wearing and stuff?
Yeah. And I mean, just think about it. I can imagine if the government says, "Hey, you don't talk about the GCP," then our press freedom index will go down.
It's already so low; it doesn't even matter. You are 150, 160. You go to 170.
Yeah, might as well, right? If you're not keeping it free, then why you allow this kind of shit?
Then the happiness index, you go from 30 to 29, makes a big difference, right? You can say 20 something.
Yeah, but press freedom from 157 to 159.
Who cares?
Correct. Yeah, you focus on the positives. But then even I think you were the one who said last time you went to Japan or Korea, the culture of litter, how you deal with your home waste.
Yeah.
Or the recycling. It's inbuilt into their culture.
Yeah.
And to change it via policy or not is damn hard, right? So culturally probably factors a lot. That's why I think it's one thing to read up about how they do schooling in the Nordic countries and all, but just living there sounds like be interesting, lah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And also, I'm sure, I'm guessing we have some listeners there.
Yeah.
So if you have any thoughts, please weigh in.
Or even people from those countries, the Nordic countries, who are now living in Singapore. And, feel that the way of life here is much better. I think we spoke recently to a mutual friend also who, married to someone who's from the Netherlands, and fucking
love it. Yeah.
You can't cycle as much as you can in the Netherlands, but apparently they still love it here,
I love it.
So it tells you something, right?
Yeah. So I guess if you come from a lot of people, I think they come to Singapore, it's almost like what we're saying about these Nordic countries, how they function and all.
Mm-hmm.
Probably people coming to Singapore, they're like, oh shit, how does this work? There's not much litter. Everything generally kind of works and all.
Yeah. Trees everywhere.
No chewing gum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are reports. I think it's important, but also it's not be all and end all.
Take a pinch of salt.
But at least the reports are very easily available. Unlike some other reports that we cover before.
Yeah, correct.
So kudos to Gallup and UN.
That made us much happier this morning. Like, yeah, right? Exactly. One click and you're, oh, this is the report.
Yeah, and you would
the
think.
Full thing.
Yeah,
full
you would thing. Think, does the availability of a report improve happiness?
It does.
It does.
That's like 2 hours of my life I'll never get back, you know, every time I have to dig for a report.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
But yeah. Coincidentally, speaking about happiness, our next topic is about, people in Singapore, one of whom is not very happy about a customer leaving a review about their product on TikTok, right?
Mm.
And it has caused a big kerfuffle and just got in the way of the happy celebrations around, or not celebration, the happy mood around the
Kampong Glam Bazaar.
Kampong Glam Bazaar festivities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what is this? What is this store? This person?
It is the stall owner of a particular store at the Kampong Glam Bazaar who was kind of pissed off at a video review that was posted on TikTok,
sure,
about their fries.
Yeah.
So the store is Frank on Wheels,
mm.
And there was a TikTok video uploaded by Gun Batok, which was, as he claims also, brutally honest.
Yeah.
So he surveyed just like 4 or 5 stores at Kampong Glam Bazaar, and he had nothing nice to say about the fries from Frank on Wheels. And kind of say, it's like, it's basic and it's not worth the $11.90.
Yeah.
So then another user...
But just to be clear, it's apparently they are Singapore's first smoky fries. The flavor he got was cheesy crab fries with turkey bacon. But he uncovered that the smokiness actually comes from just some dry ice sublimating in a little bottle on the side of the packet.
Yeah.
Which I looked at it, I was like, huh? They really went to the extent just to create that smoke around it. But it has nothing to do with the taste or the how they cook the fries at all, right?
Yeah, correct. So then some TikTok user that went by a certain handle who claimed that he was a stall owner complained about the rating.
Yeah.
And just said, how can you call our fries basic? Why? What do you mean by basic fries? So the fries you eat from hawkers are different.
Yeah.
Then there was a back and forth. And basically the stall owner was saying stuff like, if he could have come and given me feedback before posting on social media. So then people were just debating whether the stall owner has a point or whether the reviewer himself was a bit too harsh.
And the stall owner also was like, oh, you should have tried the other flavors.
Because
this one's a new one that we're trying. Maybe it's not as good, blah, 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 right?
Yeah,
but actually, why is this an interesting yellow butt discussion for you?
I mean, because like one thing the owner did say is that, this kind of reviews can really destroy businesses. And I mean, I think I would imagine if I were to go to the Kampong Glam Bazaar, I know I'm going to be paying high prices for stuff that could be like experimental or a bit more interesting. So there's a bit of the novelty factor. And I guess this one, the video has been viewed like 600,000 times already.
Yeah.
And counting. Just felt like, all these people, they are small business owners. It's not easy. The rent they're paying is damn high. Does the reviewer need to review until like that?
I think the context is that these bazaars, we've talked about it before, where the rental is pretty insane, right?
Yeah.
And the only way that they make it back is by charging these like hipster level prices that will seem expensive regardless of what you're eating in Singapore, right? Compared to fast food or anything like that. It's very expensive. And I think each day that they're operating, it's like hundreds, if not, they have to sell, if not like $1,000 worth of food or if not.
I think probably more because the rent itself is
15K a month or something, right?
Yeah.
So to just cover all that cost, all that, easily $500, $1,000 a day. So how many servings of fries is that, right? I'm not saying that that doesn't give them a license to. I'm not saying that gives them a license to serve bad food or whatnot, right? But I think the point there being that, one such scathing review could end that this 1 month of the bazaar for you, right? And result in very big losses. But again, is that the fault of the reviewer?
I don't think the reviewer did anything wrong.
Okay, why?
Yeah, because, I mean, like any business out there, once you start your own business, people are going to have their opinions, lah, yeah. Right? And if this is an opinion, it's not saying something that's false or something like, oh, you know, they use like got beef essence in the fries or something, which is actually false. It is an opinion. I don't think you can control that, lah.
Yeah.
And I think like this, a scathing review can be a lot more scathing also.
Mm.
Honestly, the visuals of that smokiness coming from that dry ice, they really look like, fuck man, like if a store owner came to you and said, hey Terrence, you know, we're thinking of doing this smokiness thing, but the smoke is not actually the flavor, which is already common knowledge. People understand what smoky flavor means.
Yeah, yeah.
Which coming from dry ice, I think you also would be like, is that the best idea?
So but that's it. Yeah. I just recently posted an Instagram story of you just raving about a dry ice dessert that you were having, we were having at a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Where you were just like, wow, dry ice.
I love playing with dry ice.
So this is up your alley, right?
No, but this guy, like, they're not marketing it as play with dry ice. If you give me this big-ass bowl of dry ice and water, I would fucking love it. Like.
Yeah.
But you're paying for smoky flavor, smoky fries.
Okay.
Yeah, I really did thoroughly enjoy the dry ice experience at that restaurant.
Yeah.
And like, a thing that I love to do, just to share, is like when I get like a delivery kind of order with the dry ice, right?
Yeah.
I would just break it up into, put it into like small like glasses full of water.
Yeah.
And if you put it into your toilet bowl, right?
Yeah.
You will pee into a cloud. And I just love that shit.
Then you ask your wife to walk out, like it's she's walking down the aisle at the wedding, that kind of.
I always do that when we are cooking and all. I might look at us, we are cooking in the clouds. Then most of the time, she won't bother like entertaining me at all. It's my little thing that I do. You never done that?
No, of course, you love it. It's fun to play with, even as a kid.
Have you put in a toilet bowl?
Yeah.
It really becomes like a cloud, right? Your pee just goes straight into like nothingness. It's great.
The visual is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's epic. But yeah, this guy wasn't paying for dry ice fries.
Correct. Yeah. But then, don't you, from the perspective as a content creator, for example, when someone comments something about the video quality or whatever that we produce that they don't like, you know, there's always a visceral emotion, right? You feel like, oh, like why need to say until like that, right? And in this case, like, the reviewer, not say very scathing, but I think he gave, 0 out of 10 or 1 out of 10?
Set out of 10.
Yeah, set out of 10, which is like, don't even try, you know? And it's just very scathing. And in some ways, you do wish that people could come and give you feedback face-to-face rather than post something and then you can't respond already, right? Do you feel any sympathy for the store owner that way?
So like, let's say someone has feedback for our podcast.
Yeah.
Just some random person. Yeah. And they come up to you in the street and I'm like, hey Terrence, you know, I think your podcast, right?
Yeah.
Harish is really quite annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You have to shut him up more.
Yeah.
No, I would. That's not the best because you would probably agree with him. Yeah.
I'll be like, You hit the nail on the head. That's how we're going to improve our podcast. I promise you. Yeah, thank you for your feedback.
No. If he comes up to you and says, you know, Terrence, I think you are talking too much. I think Harish is amazing and he deserves more airtime.
Yeah.
Like, would you be like, you know what? I'll take it into consideration.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Right.
So.
I mean, this one feels like only because it got like hundreds of thousands of views. That's why it's like touching a nerve.
But that's where, I guess, like what we do with comments like that and all that is that we kind of, I mean, you got to, I think at the end of the day, one thing we've learned about like, especially creative endeavors, when you're creating something for someone, whether it's a work of art or food or anything like that, I think there's always you kind of also need to understand where that feedback is coming from, right?
Mm.
You know, like even if we create the funniest video in the world, if someone happens to watch it at a time when they just quarrel with their wife or their husband or something, they're not going to be very happy with it. And they probably see only the angry side of it, right?
Mm.
You know, or feel very angry about it. So people's comments, you kind of got to take with a pinch of salt also. But that's not saying that you should just ignore comments entirely, right? Sometimes if all the comments are bad, then maybe it really is yourself, right?
Mm.
But it's just that our brains are hardwired to, like, there can be 99 good comments and one bad comment, and we just seem to focus on that one bad comment a lot more than 99, right? It happens to everyone. And our brains are just not hardwired to handle criticism that well, right? But at the same time, I would say, while I do empathize with what the store owner is going through, I feel that there was an opportunity, right, to do some kind of service recovery, right? Like if if you saw this review and then, yeah, the reviewer didn't say very nice things, you responding so aggressively and passive aggressively to it, kind of puts you in a worse light, I feel. Mm. Whereas if you had, more politely just said, thanks for your feedback, invite you to come back and try something better, another flavor, maybe the reviewer might come back and have a better experience and opinion and everything, right?
Mm.
Then they'll make a video that could possibly actually do better than this one. And yeah, so there was this opportunity there. But I think, this business has just said no to that also.
Yeah, exactly. Because in some way, he did say he DM'd the person.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what the DM says.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree that you can't stop people from posting shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, if someone gave him a glowing review,
yeah,
I'm guessing he would be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
So you can't have your cake and eat it too also.
Yeah.
So in this case, yeah. And I think the guy who's going to benefit is the food reviewer himself.
Mm, he's gone viral.
If you go to his account, it's all just brutally honest reviews. And he actually did recommend very highly certain things.
Mm,
so, okay, he's not just one way really to shit on everything. Yeah. So in this case, I think the store owner could have done something else.
Probably consumed with anger at the review.
And then that goes back to, I think these sort of bazaars and all, right, is a fucking stress cooker. What's that? Pressure cooker,
yeah.
Yeah, because last year we covered it because the rents were crazy high.
Yeah, yeah.
In this case, I guess when the rents are crazy high, expenses are high, people are just on edge. And probably they're not sleeping much, they're not getting much rest. So I can also understand that the store owner, probably he's damn shag, putting his everything. There was some interview with some of the store owners last week that said, for them, they're not even going to make money.
Yeah.
This is almost like a marketing cost.
Yeah. Or for the community, right? I think someone is selling vadai
for $1.
$1, right? And he's been doing that for years already.
But then recently, he cannot throw egg thrown at the store.
Yeah, apparently.
So that's why it feels like there needs to be a reality TV show around these kampong glam bazaars.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, holy shit, the amount of stress that people are under. You got physical 100.
This is a bazaar inferno.
Bazaar inferno, honestly. Yeah. A reality TV show. Holy shit. It's like writing itself, man. So, the more you put your stuff out there in the world, people are going to are entitled to their own opinion.
So, any advice for the reviewer or what to, I don't know
whether tone it down.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel that there's anything that, given the context of how much pressure there is in the bazaar, that would you do it like that as well if you were trying to review food?
I think just in terms of style, probably different, but we'll make fun of the food, which could be seen as worse. I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah. I think because. That almost gives the fact that, okay, because these people are stressed and all, they need to be given some freedom and allowance.
Yeah, yeah.
But so many people are in stressful jobs in Singapore, around the world, and I don't think they are afforded the same kind of luxury.
Correct. Yeah.
Would you have done it that way also?
Maybe not with a number on it, right? Uh-huh. This is just bad. Don't go for it, because... Again, maybe he only tried one particular thing from there, and basically the whole store got written off already. It's a 0 out of 10 or a sad face out of 10. So in some sense, you would feel kind of aggrieved if you are the store owner. Maybe he's got 10 other dishes that are amazing and he only ate this one thing that wasn't good. And because of that, the whole review is so bad. So I probably would try to be a bit, at least try two or three things from the store before I say anything about it.
And at the end of the day, this food reviewer, he's still a small account.
Yeah.
And this is an example that backs up what we were saying earlier, that social media can make you unhappy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. Yeah, if there was no social media, these sort of reviews won't exist.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, no social media, then you get less visibility for your brand if it really is good and worth talking about. So double-edged sword, man.
Yeah. But also, I guess it also points to this bazaar. Nowadays, it's so expensive that people almost want to do research before they go and then figure out what to eat. Whereas last time, like, you know, the Pasar Malam, you really just walk and then you see what you like, you just point and choose and just eat, lah, right?
Yeah.
You eat here, eat there, try a little thing here. But now it's like, you go there, if you want to try everything, you'll be broke by the end of it.
You spend
$200-$300.
That's true.
So you would want to see reviews like that, lah, right?
And because they're paying for it, it's not saying they're getting free to just review, right?
Yeah.
They're paying for it. Yeah, that's true. Last time you go, you buy like one curry puff or like or something or like a pow for $1. Yeah. If it's shit, you're like,
whatever. But now it feels like the stakes are so high for even the consumers.
$11.90 for fries, man.
Holy shit.
And this store wasn't the only store that the guy had. Not the most positive things to say about, right?
Yeah.
So,
rough one, man.
It's the way of the game, man.
Bizarre Inferno.
Voila, I would watch that, man.
Yeah, but okay. Speaking of stressed out people in pressure cookers, what is your one short comment this time?
Do you have it?
Yes, I have mine. Mine is from a latest YouTube video about our discussion on Singapore work culture, right? Mm-hmm. About the young person who was basically going on a rant about the 44-hour work week in Singapore. Louis Lim 6530 said on YouTube, really good discussion on the debate about Singapore work culture. As a former university educator, I'm guessing lecturer or something, my advice for fresh graduates and young professionals is to have the mindset shift as you are now being paid to provide a service to the employer, which is very different from paying to get a service from educational institutions. And internship experiences are not the same as a full-time job because you are paid at least 2 to 3 times more and hence the expectations are higher. On the other hand, we also can be more understanding and empathetic towards fresh graduates and young professionals, bearing in mind that it takes time to transition from more than a decade of being a student to suddenly being thrown into the workforce. Some will adapt faster than others. As you guys have also pointed out, we have all been there before. So yeah, I thought this was a very level-headed, good comment from someone who, you know, deals with young people who are about to transition from being students to being professionals.
Mm.
And thanks for listening and sharing your thoughts as well.
Yeah, there was a comment on Reddit also by oldbaseball239 about that episode, about their own experience working also.
Mm.
And they wrote, you know, I work shifts because I would absolutely freak out over office hours. And then they went on to say, you know, they used to work a job like 9 to 5, but it just felt like they had no friends. They were so tired by the end of the day. Mm. They just gossip, and they made the switch to a job with shift hours, which made their life a lot better. And they've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I think it's also like what we said last time. Like, I mean, building on your point also, it takes time to go from student to working adult. Mm. And then it probably takes time going from just entering the workforce to realize that there are other ways of carving out things that maybe fit your lifestyle better. It's not easy, but it's possible. That's why, you know, I think the original post we covered last episode was that this is going to be the next 40 years of my life.
Yeah,
that one also, it's extrapolating a bit too far.
Yeah.
Like in this case, no one is the same. Everyone's different, and there are ways out. It might not be easy, but it's not that dire. So it was, I've heard people say shift work is insane and they go back to 9 to 5, but here's someone who found that shift work actually works. That's cool. And then, what is your one short thing, man?
My one short thing is a YouTube channel by a fitness YouTuber called Tom Merrick. But apparently he's known as Body Weight Warrior. Is what I discovered. I came across him because I was just on Reddit where someone was talking about being a dad and entering his 40s and what he can do to just, you know, keep his core better without having to spend a lot of money on a personal trainer and all that. So they recommended this channel called under Tom Merrick. And I've actually been trying out some of the things. Like, he calls himself Body Weight Warrior. And he does a lot of 15-minute, 20-minute stretching exercises.
Oh, really?
So, beginner stretch flexibility routine. I've tried a couple of these. And they were, you know, I was having my leg feels really sore after a day of walking a lot and all. And just after one of these stretches, I felt better already. And
wow.
I think yoga, when I do yoga, there's this inertia to it because it just feels like there's too much you got to be, you know, calm your mind. And
open up your third eye.
All that stuff that it just doesn't work for me. Or at least I don't feel very connected to it that way. But this one is just let's really just unlock, you know, these parts of your body that you never ever stretch or think about. And I mean, obviously he's much fitter than I am. He's much fitter than probably most people that do his stuff. But it seems like a lot of people in the comments and all really, really say that, you know, even these simple stretches and all really do help them as their body also starts to age and all that.
Right? And how did you come across him?
Reddit, like someone, a dad who's just asking for advice on, you know, entering his 40s about how to, you know, make sure that he still remains flexible and not too, nothing too intense, right? They're not not trying to become like weekend warriors or athletes or anything, right?
And you realize flexibility really damn important as you get older.
Yeah, flexibility and just like to, just to allow you to have a better night's sleep, you know, like without the soreness in your hips or your legs or what. Just a few simple stretches, like 15 minutes like this, can really do wonders.
Oh, he's got a podcast also.
Yeah.
Hot Seat Podcast.
I was just looking a little bit at his channel. Apparently, I think he had some major injuries during the COVID period. So he actually stepped away. Or at least he wasn't doing as regular stuff on YouTube for a while. But then I think a year ago, he started start from scratch again and all that.
Yeah, now body weight all is like the cool thing to do.
Correct.
I will say that I don't know if I told you like 10 years ago, did I send you a body weight exercise PDF?
I don't know. You send me a lot of things that you that you keep insisting that people should read.
It was fucking good. Okay, and I bring this up because a number of friends who really killed me, because it didn't help that the PDF was called The Naked Warrior.
Yes. I think
I sent you that, right? Is damn good. The name, it catches your eye, but the whole premise is like around body weight. And then now it's only body weight and cool. Oh, Tom Merrick. Oh, yeah. It's good.
Because he's good looking. He's always half naked. And yeah, he just talks about philosophy.
I'm getting The Naked Warrior. Oh. You go back in your email. I guarantee you, I sent it to you last time.
Okay,
Naked Warrior.
When you send people stuff with the word naked in it, you just got to be very careful. Usually it goes to spam for the most part.
The Naked Warrior, Terrence. Fucking follow this. Naked.
The body weight warrior is like, at least, serious one. Yours is like, what the hell is this spam?
Naked Warrior. But cool. My one stroke thing is that there was a World Cup qualifier last year with Singapore's new Lions coach.
No, you said last year?
Yesterday.
Last night,
last night. With the first game of the Singapore head coach, Sotumo Ogura. And it was against China. It was at a national stadium.
Yeah.
No wonder last night when I was going home at night, the Circle Line was damn crowded.
Oh, is it?
I was like, what's going on in the national stadium? It was this.
Apparently, Dua Lipa was in town or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck?
I was like, huh? Got Dua Lipa concert.
Because she's a Porsche ambassador or something. Yeah. She was in Singapore. Yeah. But so this is the third match of the World Cup qualifying campaign. I think the first two games didn't work out good. But they drew 2-2 with China.
Yeah.
And if you look at the highlights, right? They had some fight in them, no?
Really?
Yeah.
I think I was working a lot, so I didn't get to see it.
But the highlights are online. You can see, there's one clip, 12-minute long highlights, where, I mean, China had their fair share, but Singapore also seemed like they were defending hard, and they were actually playing, putting passes together. I was like, hey, shit, haven't seen this for a while, man. And then they drew 2-2, and the goalie saved the penalty. So it was great, man. And it's just like, oh, shit, this looks cool, man. I don't know what their likelihood is. So they previously lost 3-1 to Thailand. They lost 5-0 to Korea. I know China is not up there with Korea in terms of football, but just watching them play, got fights, yeah, got heart. So kudos to them, man.
I don't know what Lian He Zhao Pao has to say about this. Maybe Singapore should
they just don't cover it. they don't cover the news. They don't cover the football.
Why fight back against China? Fight back? Just let it be. Back? You know, that's the natural order of the world now, right?
Correct. But the highlights were fun to watch.
Yeah.
So congrats, Singapore. Congrats, Sotumo Ogura.
Yeah. First game in charge, right?
First game in charge. But cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end of the week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, follow us on YouTube, Spotify, leave us a review. I think we're up to 1.2K reviews on Spotify.
Oh, sweet.
Still 4.8, which is great. And what else?
If you want to contact us or just find out what the hell we do, check out ministryoffunny.com. We categorize everything that we do in very, very easy visual fashion there, right? Yeah.
Terrence, does it sound like exciting to go and see? You describe it as we categorize what we do in an easy visual fashion.
Yeah.
Sell the dream, Terrence.
The dream. If you want to, basically check out what we do. Ministryoffunny.com.
Wow. That's irresistible.
That's the whole point of having a website. If I still need to go out there and sell it, means something's not working, right?
Follow Terrence's advice and check it out. Thanks for listening, everyone.